2 weeks ago, we shared a little bit on just looking unto Jesus, and we spoke in 2 Corinthians 4. For those of you that were not there, I'll just read the last verse that we spoke about last time again. But I just, again, for those of you that were not here, I wasn't here last week, but I heard Jock was preaching, and he did an awesome, awesome job. The testimony all over is like, Jock is rocking through the word that he brought. But the word was also on humility. And it was interesting when Jock shared with me what he wants to share on was humility. I was like, well, that's so cool, because that's actually what I also wanted to touch. And I think it is very prevalent for us in this time, what God wants to speak to us. So I'm going to quickly, we're going to go through a portion of scripture again, guys. So if you guys have your Bible with you, that could be helpful, hard copy. Those that only have a Bible on their cell phone, the Lord is watching. Stick to your Bible app, please, right? I know this is now, this message is coming through. All right, so if that's going to be helpful for you guys can do that. But we're going to pretty much just go a little bit through this. I didn't ask, I said from verse 7, but can you just quickly pop verse 6 so that we can just see where we ended up last time? Hey, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Now, that's where we ended up last time. It says, for God, if you guys would remember, this is this beautiful, beautiful portion that Paul said, that the same God that commanded, let there be light right in the beginning, is now the same God that commanded, let there be light into our hearts. This heart is so utterly darkened, and it couldn't be switched on by our Jewish background. It couldn't be switched on by our education. It couldn't be switched on by any pedigree, as Corinne just so beautifully explained to us. There's nothing that can switch the heart on. It's an utter darkness. It needed something similar as when the earth was dark and void and God declared, let there be light. In the same way, he saw our hearts and we needed this thing, let there be lights. And he switched the light on in all of our hearts. And that once were blind, now can see. And then he says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has now shone in our hearts to give this, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so what we said and what we ended up, and we said, the key really for us, the trump card, the thing that changes everything is the face of Jesus, is to look unto the Lord. And obviously for some of us, like, okay, 1, 2, 3, let's look to Jesus. What does it mean sometimes? You know? So if we would look at, for instance, Peter that was sitting in the boat, and when Jesus called him, it's interesting, Peter actually initiated that. He said, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. He was so ready to get out of that boat, and Jesus says, come. He walks on water, looking unto Jesus. Jesus, you said, come, I'm coming. And then the next moment, it's just this. Look at this wave. Look at the wind. And the man sinks. But as long as the eyes was on the Lord, he was walking. And I think the challenge for us in everything, I don't think, I know, is the face of a wave and the face of a storm versus the face of Jesus. The face of the storm, I promise you, will produce fear, will produce worry, will produce hopelessness, will produce discouragement. The face of Jesus will always produce faith, always produce courage, always produce peace, always produce joy. And there's a battle for us to get this face, our eyes, on the face of Jesus. And he's helping us in several ways to get our eyes on it. Because I tell you what is the biggest temptation to get our eyes off Jesus is to get our eyes on us. Now, the very next verse is where it gets juicy. where Paul's going to explain how Jesus is actually doing a great work for all of us. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And so what Paul is now saying in verse 7, he says, there is a jar, so beautiful jar in the old in those days. If you have precious treasure, oil, perfumes or whatever, you would put it in this beautiful jar. And he says, there's a jar with this precious thing inside of this jar. And Paul's going to make it now clear and saying, we are the jar. And the treasure is inside of the jar, which is not us. Now, I'm going to tell you guys how Christianity starts off for all of us. When we get saved and we realize how much Jesus loves us, how much Jesus cares for us, remember, our first love is still us. And we remembered that, you know, the world and our studies kind of worked for us, but we have God now for us, and God can now make our lives great. And so in the center of our prayers, in the center of our understanding of Christianity is that the kingdom of God is there to make my dreams come true. The kingdom of God is there to make my life great and to make my life better. Every prayer, every consideration is there to make this clay pot precious, preserve it, and make it more beautiful. But then Paul breaks the news to us. And this news needs to be broken to every Christian who's ever going to go onto this journey, that the point is not the jar. The point is not the clay pot. You don't believe me. But I promise you, you are not the point. The point is the treasure inside of you, which is Jesus. But this is a hard work for us, guys, because everything in our inclination, everything that this world tells us, everything in the way that we are taught, that somehow we live, even the kingdom of God is there to make my calling come, to bring me to this or to bring me to that. And Paul is saying we've made a mistake because the point is never the jar. The point is the treasure in the jar. Verse 8. We are afflicted in every way. Now let me say, we've got a problem, guys. Mayday, mayday, 911, come in, there's a problem. There's a treasure in the jar, but the treasure is stuck in the jar. How are we going to get the treasure to come out of that jar? Break the jar. Can you guys understand the problem that we're sitting with here? If we think the point of the kingdom of God is to preserve and make this jar beautiful, but the purpose of God is to get the treasure out of the jar, meaning to break the jar. I just want to say that it's very important. What is God doing? He's not making you great. He's breaking you. Because the treasure is not you. The treasure is Him in you. And the only way for that treasure to come out is if there's brokenness in our life, if He can break and crush this vessel. So this is what He says. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, pressed, but not driven to despair. Verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Oh, this is a relief. So this is what's happening. In the hands of God, this is a clay pot, which has no power in itself. The power and the glory is all in the treasure. And now He comes to work a work, to crush this clay pot so that the treasure come out. But here's the problem, guys. Here's the problem. An understanding that the kingdom of God is to preserve the pot And when God is busy breaking the pot, in order to get the treasure out, is difficult because that pot is fighting with everything that he has not to be broken. I said to the leaders last week, I've seen two types of suffering that happen over years with Christians. Those that allow the Lord to break them. Have you tried and squeeze clay? You press it, but you don't crush it. Have you seen when clay has become hard, rock hard? Try and squeeze it then. You don't squeeze it, you break it. And in the same way, Paul is saying, we are not those. We are pressed, but not crushed. We've given ourselves over to the Lord to break us. The problem is when we resist the work of the Lord and we say at all costs, God, the whole point of everything is this clay jar. Preserve it. You're not touching this thing. Get away from me. No. Because he's going to work. But if a heart is going to be hard towards him, and a heart is going to fight to preserve the clay pot at all costs, it's going to be much harder. Jesus encouraged us. He says, fall on the rock, which is Jesus. Fall on the rock and be broken. Or the rock will fall on you and you'll be crushed. There's a choice. I'm telling you now, guys, if you want to know what God is doing, he is there to bring about the glory of Jesus, not the glory of you. And he's working everything ultimately. That's what he's doing, to form Jesus and to bring Jesus through you. There is just one obstacle, you. There is only one obstacle, you. And he has to break it. Now, let's continue. You guys are still all right. Verse 10. Always, Paul, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Brokenness, the work of death, is all the time working in me. So that the life of Jesus can now come through me, so that the life of Jesus might also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always, always given to death. Christians, this is, we as clay vessels have come to understand that it's not about the clay vessel. We've come to understand it's about the treasure of Jesus. So we have always given ourselves over to Jesus to break us, to shape us so that his life can come through. We who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus, so that that treasure can come through us, also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. I just want to tell you guys, that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing with all of our lives. And unless the desire to preserve the jar clay at all costs, or unless we give it up, I'm telling you, this is going to be a rough ride. You and God is going to go in different directions on this thing. Now, verse 12. Verse 12, I think, might be one of my favorite verses ever. So death is in work in us, but life in you. What is Paul saying? He says, I'm always given over to death. I'm breaking always so that the life of Jesus can come through me and bless others. Do you want the life of Jesus to bless others? Always giving myself over to the death of the Lord, to brokenness. One of the things that I honestly had the privilege of is to disciple young guys. And for a long time, I've actually been part of a Bible school that does that, train guys for ministry. Here's some of these guys that has joined us as well. Over time, you know, I've just been able to see young guys, a couple of them, just hungry to be used by God, hungry to get filled with God and to be used in whatever way. But it's interesting when people come initially to the Lord, they're young and naive,
They're ready. They've got the answers ready. They've got the moves ready. You put a guitar behind them, and they just know how to do it. Come on. And they do it, and they can get the crowd, and it's all beautiful. They say the right verses. They say all the right things. But somehow, when you are close to them, you just don't taste life. It's not that it's not correct. It's perfect. It's beautiful. And we all say hallelujah with you, but we don't taste life. There was a guy actually at the Bible school that he was both first and second year, and I've been with him, and I thought by myself the whole time as I see this guy, yes, this is a beautiful, beautiful jar. This is a beautiful jar. And he's made it even more beautiful, and I'm thinking by myself, that's going to get broken. I'm sorry. And I can see how he reveled in the beauty of this jar. And then about 2 years last year, I saw him. I haven't seen him for the next 3 years. I haven't spoken to him. I just stood close to him, and I said to somebody, I asked somebody that knows him, did this guy go for suffering? And the guy looked at me and said, man, did this guy go for suffering? He's broken. I said, well, I can taste the life that is coming out of him. I can taste it. And it's a beautiful thing, guys. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing when a people are on the altar. It's a beautiful thing when people are being broken by the Lord. It's a beautiful thing that I see people and everything that they have want to hold on to their lives, and then it's just like, oh, Jesus. Crush me. And just the life and the fragrance that comes out of that. Let me ask a question. How many of you feel like life is a little bit pressing at the moment? Just give me a hand here. At least Jesus is working with some of us here, Ryan. And so look, like we said, you know, if the pressing is not now, be of good cheer. In this world, you will have tribulation. It's a promise you can hold on to, guys. Content for that one. You promise, Jesus, you're going to break me. Come on. Right? The key is he will work. The response of us is, are we going to be those that are going to let go of the glory of this jar pot? This thing that our whole lives, our mothers and our fathers, everybody has said is so precious. That we almost thought the kingdom of God is about that. And that we must, that it's only one purpose, and that is to hold on the one that is truly glorious. That's Jesus. Okay. I'm going to skip a few verses. And I think let's move to verse 16. So, and this is very, very important, guys. For all of us now, for all of us at all times, Stevie, for all of us at all times, I know Stevie, my friend, I've suffered with him and see suffering in his eyes many times. And these were the words that we said to one another always. So Stevie, all of us, we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature, our outer man is wasting away, our inner nature, our inner man is being renewed day by day. There is two things that's happening at the same time. Jesus is working in us. God is working in us to produce Jesus through us, to conform Jesus in our lives. He's doing it by bringing brokenness. He's doing it by all kinds of works in order to produce Jesus in us. It's the most precious work that he's busy doing. In the same time, this jar is getting more wrinkly by the day. I'm trying to withhold that, but the inevitable is coming to me. This jar is wasting away. But the more precious thing is that Jesus is always at work in me, renewing me so that Jesus can come through me and I conform to the image of Jesus. What is Jesus doing right now in all of our lives in whatever way? He is not beautifying that jar. He is making sure that the glory of God, that the beauty of Jesus is coming through all of us. Verse 17. For this, this is just very encouragement, and I know not all of us see it like this, but Paul is just encouraging us, a guy that has been beaten halfway to death several times, has everything taken of him, has been squashed, has been left for dead. The guy knew something about suffering, and this is what he says. For this slight, momentary, little afflictions is preparing for us, is doing something that is so much more glorious. Ah, come on, Stewie. Because this little suffering, this little pressing, this little crushing that we are experiencing now is nothing in comparison to the beautiful work that Jesus is bringing through us. You know what? I just want to say this. You know what I see many times? People feel ugly when Jesus is doing stuff to them. You know why they feel ugly? Because the jar is exposed for what it is. This is a beautiful work. Because you need to realize this jar was anyway never glorious. We need to get the jar out of the way so that the true glory of Jesus can come through. Beautiful. Beautiful. Some needs a little bit more pressing than others. Some needs a bit of, some holds a little bit longer to that jar. For the slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. What is this weight of glory? What is this weight of glory that God is doing? This weight of glory that God is doing right now is to bring the life of God through us, is to conform us to the image of Jesus. That is more glorious, Paul would say, than anything else. In fact, comparing to this little bit of suffering, the glory is so much more. And so verse 18, the last verse, okay? It's the grand finale, the practical. Here's some practical. Verse 18, as we fix our eyes not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things, it's temporal. I think that's, the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so right now, guys, in your life, there is a battle to value the things that are seen. Things like my careers, things like my well-being, things like my significance, things like I have on this earth that is precious. And when that thing is touched, we don't like it when the jar is touched. But the problem is, still in our hearts, we have given weight to the temporal and weight to the seen more than the unseen, more than the work that God is doing, that He's ultimately doing of the great glory of bringing His Son through us. And can I say this, guys? Can I say this? Any enemy, anything that preserves, anything that stands between God doing His work in conforming us to His image, anything that takes our attention away from looking at the eternity, everything that draws us away from looking unto that which is eternal, looking unto that which is glorious, anything that is taking our attention away from that, can I say, is in the line of fire of God. And don't be surprised. The most beautiful thing for me, and I walk with people all the time, is when I go, I think that thing is an idol. No, it's never. God can take it any time. I'm like, okay. And then when he touches it, it's like, I can't believe it. No. It's easy to say nothing is an idol until it's touched. I wonder if you consider right now what is pressed, what is hurting at the moment. Is that something of eternal value or something of temporal value? The things that concern us is the fact that he's touching the jar. Now, I understand, guys, I'm with you there. It's painful for me as it is for you. But the thing that Paul wants to encourage us here is, if we have perspective, if we can step back and fix our eyes on eternity, that which is truly glorious, that which is truly glorious, two things. Not only will the pressing be more bearable, but it probably will be quicker as well. If the hands can go open. I'm going to pray for us.